The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trump, and I'm your host, Katie Trump. Well, somebody was finally able to stop the Milwaukee Brewers and their winning streak. So let's get right into the top 10 MLB power rankings. So since we're talking about baseball, number one, since we're talking about them, is still the Milwaukee Brewers, even though their 13-game winning streak was busted this weekend by the Cincinnati Reds, of all teams. But they're still number one. They're still playing excellent baseball right now. Right now, their regular season record is 78-45. So they are head and shoulders above the rest right now. They're almost about to hit that 80-win mark. They should at some point this week. They're 9-1 in their last 10 games. Like I said, they're coming off of a 13-game winning streak. This past week, they took out the Pittsburgh Pirates and then also took the series over the Cincinnati Reds. Had a huge comeback on Saturday night over the Reds as well. The Reds came right out the gate. I believe they were up like 6-0, 5-0. They were up big. And then all of a sudden, the Brewers just started to make a comeback, and they got their 12th win in a row, or their 13th win in a row. And then, of course, Sunday, the Reds beat them and finally stopped the winning streak. But this Brewers team, they're looking pretty legit, at least right now. And this is the time of year you want to be playing this type of baseball. And even though their winning streak is now done, I don't expect them to fall off at any time, any point soon. Then at number two on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Detroit Tigers. They are back to their old ways. Regular season record of 73-53. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Chicago White Sox and the Minnesota Twins. And they're just back in business. You know, they're top dogs at the starting pitcher position. They're all playing pretty well right now. You got Mize and Skubal. They're in the double-digit wins category. You've got Flaherty right behind them. But then you also have Riley Green, who is having a career year. He's actually leading the team in all batting categories right now. Batting average of .265, 28 home runs, and 90 RBI. He's really been a clutch player, not only with his bat, but he's also been playing great defensively as well. So this Detroit Tigers team seems to have broken out of their slump and seems to be getting back to their winning ways. Then at number three in my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Toronto Blue Jays, overall record of 73-52. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Chicago Cubs and took the series over the Texas Rangers. And Bo Bichette, man, he has been on fire this second half of the season. He came off the injured list and kind of started out the season pretty slow, wasn't looking like his normal self. He was actually on the trade block. It kind of felt like there was a possibility he was going to get traded. They decided to hang on to him. And so far, that's worked out for him because he has been playing great. Right now, a batting average of .297, 16 home runs, and 81 RBI. And then also somebody else who's having a fantastic second half of the season is Vlad Guerrero Jr. He's batting a .300 with 21 home runs and 68 RBI. And this Toronto Blue Jays team just keeps on winning. They keep on rolling. They really are they're playing great in every way, shape, and form on the field. Excellent starting pitching. Bullpen is doing what they're supposed to do. Defensively, they look solid. And then, of course, having zero issues scoring runs. And they still maintain the lead in their division. Then at number four in my top 10 MLB power rankings at the Philadelphia Phillies, overall record of 71-53. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost the series to the Cincinnati Reds and then split the series with the Washington Nationals. Now, they did get some unfortunate news, which could have a huge impact on this team because he's arguably their best player, and that is Zach Wheeler. He has been pitching out of his mind this year. He's been having a Cy Young award-winning type of season, but unfortunately, he has a blood clot in his shoulder, and when you're dealing with a blood clot, it is always unknown when you are going to come back because you just never know how your body is going to heal from a blood clot. You just never know. And he had surgery today as well, so we'll see how long it goes for him. But now the Phillies don't have Zach Wheeler, and that could definitely be an issue for the rest of the season, especially with the team that has playoff hopes like the Philadelphia Phillies do. Then at number 5 on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Los Angeles Dodgers, overall record of 71-53. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they got swept by the Los Angeles Angels, but then they swept the San Diego Padres in the following series. The Dodgers, they haven't really been consistent as of late, but, you know, they're still the Dodgers, and I still expect them to make the playoffs, of course, and, you know, they can get going at any point in time. Mookie Betts has had a pretty quiet second half for sure. Now he had a huge weekend and was a big reason why they were able to sweep the San Diego Padres. Then at number 6 on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Chicago Cubs. Overall record of 70-53. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost the series to the Toronto Blue Jays and then took the series over the Pittsburgh Pirates. And the Cubs are actually starting to lose their grip and fall further and further behind the Milwaukee Brewers. I mean, you know, they were just way ahead of the Brewers at one point in the season. And then all of a sudden, the tide turned. Milwaukee Brewers started to just keep winning. And now the Cubs, they're starting, it kind of feels like their injuries are starting to catch up to them. And unfortunately, Kyle Tucker, he has been in a bit of a slump lately. And it was announced today that they're actually going to bench him. And I doubt it's going to be something that lasts a long time. But when that's a star player that you traded for, and you know, he's supposed to give you a lot of offensive production, but has been quiet as of late. Well, you don't want that to happen. But I still expect the Cubs to get it going again. But right now, they are not playing their best baseball. Then at number 7 on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Houston Astros, overall record of 69-55. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Boston Red Sox and lost the series to the Baltimore Orioles. But it does look like they have a bit of good news for the Houston Astros. It looks like they're going to get Yordan Alvarez back off of the injured list here pretty soon. He looks like he's going to be taking some AAA games here pretty soon, which means he should be actually appearing back in the Astros starting lineup here, I would imagine, in the next couple of weeks. So definitely could use him for a playoff run. They still have they're still at the top of their division, so they're definitely going to need him once the playoffs roll around. Then at number 8 on my top 10 MLB power rankings at the San Diego Padres, overall record of 69-55. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the San Francisco Giants, but got swept by the Los Angeles Dodgers. But Manny Machado just continues his amazing season, batting a .291, 20 home runs and 72 RBI, and just is really the driving force offensively for this San Diego Padres team. Then at number 9 on my top 10 MLB power rankings, I have the New York Yankees. Overall record of 67-57. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Minnesota Twins and swept the St. Louis Cardinals over the weekend. And Aaron Judge is back, so they seem to be getting back to at least scoring some runs. But, you know, there's one thing that's been following the Yankees around all season long, and that is their terrible defense. And it continues to rear its ugly head every single week, it feels like, and they just have not improved in it at all. And it's going to be interesting to see if not only if they're able to even make the playoffs at this point, because they are behind now both the Blue Jays and the Red Sox, still in their own division, and they are hanging on to that last wild card spot, but they are just playing terrible defensively, and if they don't get better in the defensive side of the ball, they're going to be a one-and-done team, even if they do make the playoffs. And then rounding out the top 10 MLB power rankings this week of the New York Mets, overall record of 66-58. They are 3-7 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost series to the Atlanta Braves and then took the series over the Seattle Mariners. And this team is, both the New York teams, they just are very streaky. They get going on their winning streaks, and then they get going on their losing streaks, and they just can't seem to get any consistency going. And with the Mets, it's even more difficult to pinpoint really what their issue is. Obviously, the injuries are a big issue for them, but you know, it's not like with the Yankees, it's obviously their glaring defense. But with the Mets, it's just like, what's their problem? Because, you know, they're getting a lot of offensive production out of a lot of dudes. And, you know, Francisco Lindor, he kind of snapped out of his slump, which he had for a little bit there. But now he's batting a .259 with 24 home runs and 71 RBI. But this New York Mets team just hasn't been able to find any consistency. But with that being said, like I did mention, the Zach Wheeler injury could affect the Philadelphia Phillies in the long run. And with a team like the Mets, who's in their division, who's not far behind them in the division, they could take advantage of that injury and make a run for it. But we'll see what happens here in the last month of baseball. With that being said, now we are closing in on the NFL season. So now it is time for my 2025 NFL season predictions. And of course, since I am a Cowboys fan, we're going to go ahead and start off with my predictions on the NFC East teams and the AFC East teams. And then we'll just keep it rolling on through the rest of this week and the next couple of shows with predictions on each team. So let's get started with the NFC East and how I think that is going to pan out. So this should come as no surprise to you who I think is going to finish number one in the NFC East, and that is my Dallas Cowboys. I have them going 12-5 on the season, simply because they actually made huge improvements in the offseason where they needed to, one being picking up George Pickens, the wide receiver from the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, he's a number one guy. So you got CeeDee Lamb on one side, you got Pickens on the other. I just think that's going to be a big deal. And then, of course, on the offensive line, we made some improvements there, made some draft picks, picked up some guys in the offseason. So I think they definitely made improvements on the offensive side of the ball that, like they needed to. And then, of course, defensively, I think they're going to be stout and really be a really top dog defensive team. The only question really is with the Cowboys, and they really didn't solve this issue from last year. Maybe they did. It's just still up in the air, and that is the running back position, because we have no idea who's even going to be the starting running back. They basically have four guys, and it's going to be whoever plays the best gets to be the starting running back, basically. So at this point, we don't have a starting running back, but I kind of think it's a better situation than they were last year, because at least the guys we have, they can at least get it going. I also kind of feel like the Cowboys are going to take advantage of their division, because I think a couple of teams in this division are not going to do so well, and then I think another team in the division is going to do okay. So I think that's also going to play a factor into how the Cowboys win the division this year. I know everybody's like, oh, that's not going to happen. But actually, this was a pretty good offseason for the Cowboys. They didn't really have much drama. I know everybody's making a big deal about the Micah Parsons contract, which I'm a Cowboys fan. This is actually year number 5 of contract drama. So I pretty much have chalked this up to, this is just what Jerry Jones does, is he just likes to get you ginned up, gets the press talking about his team for the entire offseason, which they have been doing, gets them talking about how stupid the Cowboys are because they haven't signed so-and-so, and then a week before the season starts, we sign so-and-so, and everything's all good. So that's kind of what I believe is going to happen with Micah Parsons. I don't think he's getting traded at all. I'm pretty sure the contract is actually already done. It just has to be finalized, and they probably will do that the week before the season. I expect it any day now, as a matter of fact, for them to sign that deal, because that's how it goes. So I was not concerned in that department at all. Then finishing in second place in the NFC, I have the Washington Commanders. I have them coming in with a 10-7 record. Part of the reason why is, yes, Daniels had a solid rookie year, but you never know, is he going to have a sophomore slump? And they did improve their offense by trading for Deebo Samuel from the San Francisco 49ers. The only thing with Deebo is he's very, very injury prone. So is that going to be an issue here? Because if it is an issue, well, they do have an issue at the wide receiver position, because Terry McLaurin, he's been having contract issues with the Commanders all offseason. He didn't show up for the majority of training camp. As a matter of fact, he just now showed up. I believe this weekend is when he first showed up. So is this going to be a lingering issue? Are they going to trade him? What's going to happen here? Because Terry McLaurin actually plays a huge part in this offense and is a huge reason why they were so successful last year. So it's going to be interesting to see if his play suffers, or if just something down the line, because really they don't have a deep receiving core other than Deebo Samuel. And like I said, he's injury prone. So don't be shocked if he ends up getting injured. But still, I still think the Commanders are going to be a good team this year, and still think they're going to probably end up being a playoff team. Then finishing in third place in the NFC East, I have the defending Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles coming in at 8-9 this year. Yes, I believe the Eagles are going to have a Super Bowl hangover, because that is actually par for the course with the Eagles. Usually when they go to the Super Bowl, whether they win or lose, the following season is usually a shit show. And that's kind of what I expect for this season with the Eagles. I really don't have any specific reason why. Just because it's very typical for the Eagles. Every time they go to the Super Bowl, they pretty much suck the next season. And so I'm just going off of their Super Bowl history And while they are the defending champs, that doesn't mean a goddamn thing coming into this season. But, I mean, when you look at the Eagles, though, just as a team generally, offensively, definitely have a lot of dudes. But it looks like A.J. Brown has a hamstring injury right now, so we'll see what happens there. I mean, you really don't want a hamstring injury as a wide receiver. But offensively, I think they'll be fine. It's really just the defensive side of the ball where I have a lot of questions. But I just kind of feel like it's going to just be one of those weird seasons for the Eagles because, like I said, they usually go to the Super Bowl following year, ends up being a shit show. And then finishing last in the NFC East, I have the New York Giants coming in at 4-13. That's right, I don't expect them to really improve at all from last year. I mean, their quarterback this year now is Russell Wilson, which is not an improvement at all. It looks like Malik Nabers, he's already injured, so is that going to be an issue for the rest of the season? Then they did draft Abdul Carter, great defensive end out of Penn State. But I don't think he's going to be their savior. I mean, there really isn't much going on with this Giants team. They're terrible offensive line, not a lot of offensive weapons, and Russell Wilson is pretty much past his prime in any way, shape, or form, so I don't really think he's going to even elevate this team that much. So I've got the Giants having a terrible season, and I actually wouldn't be shocked if Brian Daboll ends up being one of the first coaches fired this season. So moving on to the AFC East, I don't have a lot of hopes for three of the four teams in this division. So let's just start it off with who I think is going to win the division easily. And I think that's going to be the Buffalo Bills. As a matter of fact, I think the Bills are going to have one of the top records in the league simply because they're going to be annihilating every team in this division. I got the Bills going 13-4, but they did make some improvements on the defensive side of the ball by adding Joey Bosa. Now, he's been injury prone over the years as well. He spent his time with the San Diego / Los Angeles Chargers and had a pretty solid career other than getting injured. So if this guy's able to stay healthy, well, I think they got a beast. And he's only going to help them on the defensive side of the ball. Of course, though, this team is driven by Josh Allen. It really doesn't matter what's going on with this team as long as Josh Allen is playing at a high level. And I kind of feel like Josh Allen is getting there. He's getting to his peak, Josh Allen, and I kind of feel like he's going to have another year where it's all on him. I feel like it's going to be kind of a tip. It's going to be kind of like an MVP year for him, where he's just going to take over every game, and it's really just going to be all on his back. My only question with this team is the tight end position because they don't really have a standout. But at the end of the day, they've got Josh Allen, and that's all that they need. And they are in a terrible ass division. Finishing in second place in the AFC East, I have the Miami Dolphins. I have them going 9-8. It's been very odd because this entire offseason has been, it's kind of felt like they're ready to move on from Tyreek Hill, but they haven't done it yet. He's kind of been voicing his opinion about wanting to leave, and then the front office has been kind of saying, yeah, we might trade him. And I kind of feel like at this point, if their season starts off terrible, then he's probably going to be traded, at least by the trade deadline. I kind of feel like he's going to be dangling there for any team to try and go after at some point because I just kind of feel like he has wore out his welcome there. And then beyond him, they really don't have much talent, so I just don't expect a lot from the Miami Dolphins this year. Then finishing in third place in the AFC East, I have the New York Jets. I have them coming in at 6-11. I really have no hopes for this team. I don't really think their coach selection with Aaron Glenn was a good one. They went after Justin Fields as their starting quarterback now. I think that's also very questionable. They have nothing going on the offensive side of the ball. They have a fairly mediocre defense, so I just don't think a lot's going to go on with this Jets team, and I think it's just going to be another long-ass year for New York football fans. And then finishing off in fourth place in the AFC East, I have the New England Patriots. I have them finishing at 4-13. This team's pretty much in a rebuild mode. They have a new coach. You know, they didn't really make a lot of moves. They went after Stephon Diggs in the offseason, but who knows if he's even going to play in the first couple of games because he's coming off of an ACL injury. Not saying he can't add some explosion on the offense for them when he is playing, but I don't think he's going to be what puts the Patriots over the edge. As a matter of fact, there really isn't anything good to say about this Patriots team, which is why I have them finishing in last place in the AFC East. So it's going to be yet another long year for you New England Patriots fans. Sorry about that. I hope you enjoyed all those Super Bowls you won, because it's going to be another long, shitty year for y'all. All right, y'all. Enjoy the rest of the week of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Friday.